Ladies and gentlemen, hello. Welcome to the Toffee Blues Opposition View. As always, I'm Max, and coming up, I'm excited for it, and I'm sure every Evertonian is as well. It's the first home game of the 2018-19 season against Southampton at Goodison Park. It's going to be a sellout, I'm sure. Given the early season optimism, we're going to be making a lot of noise, and I think we've got every right to be coming into this game optimistic, particularly after the performance against Wolves, which showed a bit of bottle and a bit of character that we've been lacking desperately for a long, long time. Ben Richarlison seems to be in fine form, and we've got the chance to see some of the summer signings like Yerry Mina, Kurt Zouma, Bernard. I know Andre Gomes isn't quite fit just yet, but it's still very exciting time to be a Blue. Just like last season, I sat down with John Bailey of the Saints FC podcast, and last season we talked just before the game at Goodison Park where Southampton took a lead. We seemed to be all over the place, as was the case often last season, and we quite uncharacteristically of us, to be honest, smash and grab at the end, late goal by Tom Davies gets us the point. But this season they've managed to stay up, and like every other football fan, hit with a healthy sense of optimism into the season ahead. I got the chance to talk with John, and we talked about his relief about staying up, his opinion on Southampton's summer signings, because they were very active in the transfer market, and their start of the season last week against Burnley, which was a nil-nil draw. Talked about the game obviously as well, what he expects coming up against Everton. I know Goodison Park hasn't been a happy hunting ground for Southampton for many years, so he gave us his account on that and just what he expects from the game. Hope you enjoy. So, John, it's great to have you back on the show again. It's obviously been a long summer, and to be honest, with the way things looked last time we spoke, it didn't look likely that we'd be able to have you back on the show. Last time we spoke was, I remember it well, Everton's last home game of the season last season. Southampton were coming into it really in the midst of a relegation battle, and in one of the cruel turns of circumstance that just happens in football. We 1-0 up, admittedly. Southampton much the better team, and red card 5 minutes to go that resulted Tom Davies slamming in an equaliser in the last minute. Which, on the other hand, in the midweek, yeah, that game against Swansea, which really was a make or break game, and I remember it well because obviously I kept a keen eye on Southampton after that, because coming out of the game, some of our Evertonian lads were putting arms around Southampton fans in, solidarity, because it really was a cruel, cruel way to go. But that Southampton game, I mean the Swansea game, sorry, Manolo Gabbiadini, I've been a big fan of his from when he was at Napoli, was it? And he obviously hadn't kind of lived up to the hype that he set the bar at earlier on in his Southampton career, but just how relieved were you to see him score that goal, and what did it mean for you?
Back to the Everton game, as I remember chatting to you about that, and I wasn't actually able to watch it, so I was at my brother-in-law's wedding, where I was DJing.
All right, nice.
I couldn't watch the game, but yeah, I knew how crucial it was. I checked in the score at half-time, and also went to check when I thought it was going to be full-time. Saw we were winning, and I just, oh my God, we're actually going to do this, we're going to step. I mean, the last time we won at Goodison Park was so long ago, Kevin Davis scored for us. And then I put the phone down. I was like, all right, it's another 4 minutes. Hopefully that's all done and dusted. And then I saw the notification come in on my phone. And I just felt totally sick. Standing behind the deck, show this couple, have the party music for the best night of their lives. And I'm sitting there just thinking, oh my God, it's all over, it's actually going to happen, we're going to get relegated. It was so, so gutting. Thankfully, I was able to put it off as a DJ. Professional,
yeah, fantastic.
But then, yeah, it meant it was all to play for against Swansea. With hindsight now, looking back on it, I wonder if it might not have been a bad thing that we only got a point at Goodison Park, because it meant that we went to Swansea knowing exactly what we needed. They had a much easier fixture on the last day of the season. So, we kind of knew that we had to beat them. wasn't able to get across to Swansea, but from the Saints podcast, I met loads of Saints fans, and we kind of took over a pub in London.
Brilliant.
When the Saints scored, the place went absolutely wild. Oh. I don't know what this South London pub was thinking. I was so excited I ended up buying a bottle of champagne, which, you know, it's an expensive thing to do in a London pub.
You know.
It's bad enough getting the pints in London.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, but, you know, it felt amazing, and that's the thing. Like, looking back on it, we've had all of those great seasons. Previous to last season, we finished in the top eight 4 seasons in a row. And to be honest, like, that goal that Gavin Deeney scored felt just as good as when Shane Long got the winner in the semi-final against Liverpool at Anfield. And, yeah, that's the mad thing. Surviving relegation can sometimes feel as good as getting through to
the final. I know the Great Escapes. Evertonians will be very familiar with that after 94 and 98. We know the feeling, and obviously going ahead into the summer now with the Premier League status solidified, if you like. Do you think, as a club, it was the right decision to keep Mark Hughes on? Because I feel that we've got common ground in the sense that we appointed Sam Allardyce, and the likes of Sam Allardyce, Mark Hughes, Tony Pulis, they all tend to get, you know, tarred with the same brush. So, you know, going forward, hoping to be a progressive club, do you think that's the right decision?
I don't think it's a very Southampton decision, and I think, you know, the club didn't take it lightly, sacking a manager midway through the season. They like to do their business in the summer, they like to be planned and prepared, but the way it was going with Pellegrino, you just couldn't see him getting the players up to the relegation battle. If we'd stuck with him, I'd have bet my house on us getting relegated. It was really that bad. Hughes obviously has loads of experience. Doesn't tend to do very well actually with teams when he first comes in. He's more of a manager that kind of builds things up, so he got better and better mistake until the last season he was with them. But yeah, he made a big difference to Saints. I mean, we lost our first three fixtures under him, but the games against Arsenal, the games against Chelsea, you could see that there was a bit of fighting spirit in the squad again, and that's what we needed. And I think it would have been unfair to sack Hughes based on him, you know, getting us survival, which is ultimately all we brought him in for. It's not really a typical Saints appointment. Normally we go a bit from left field. So, I mean, Pellegrino wasn't particularly well known in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. Well, whilst he had some Champions League experience, he wasn't, you know, well known outside of France, really. Koeman, you know, he wasn't proven in the Premier League until he came to us. And Pochettino, when we brought him in and sacked Nigel Adkins, everyone thought we were mad.
No.
Sacking a manager, he was just starting to pick up the pace a bit with Saints at the time. We brought in Pochettino, and everyone, the pundits were slating and saying it was a terrible idea, but now I think you look at him and you can argue a case for him being the best manager in the league, you know, with the resources he has. He gets an awful lot out of the players there. In fact, probably Koeman slightly tainted his reputation at Saints because he did slightly better with Saints but Pochettino definitely laid down the foundation.
Definitely. You mentioned, and obviously it's been quite in the news, obviously, with Spurs and Pochettino not making any signings in the transfer window. You mentioned yourself earlier that managers like to go into a summer implementing their own plans with their own targets. And looking at Southampton transfer activity this summer, obviously there's one notable player that was sold on, inducing Tadic. But aside from that, by all accounts, you've made some really solid signings. I've saw myself, Angus Gunn, at Manchester City for the under-23s. He looked a really solid keeper. I'm a keen follower of German football, so Yannick Vestergaard looks like a absolute colossus at the back. And a really interesting one, which I'm sure people will be interested in hearing about, is Danny Ings, because I've seen that the scenario in terms of whether it's a loan, whether it's a permanent transfer, are quite confusing. But do you think the signings that you've made are good enough to not put you in the position that you ended up in towards the back end of last season?
I think they probably are. Obviously, it all depends what the manager gets out of them. Going through our summer activity, it was a shame to lose Dusan Tadic. He's a player that could, you know, make opposition teams feel nervous. But, you know, he hasn't left under academy really well at the end of last season, really helped us kind of staying up. You'd be welcome back to Seven Areas as an opposition.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, some other players, Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah.
I think it has been a good transfer window for Saints. Danny Ings, I mean, let's start with that one. That was a really bizarre one.
Yeah.
On, the final deadline day, last minute transfer. Odd that it's a season loan.
Yeah.
£20 million fee already agreed. And I wonder if that has something to do with the accounting rules for the financial.
Of course.
Spent a fair bit over the summer. He did pretty well on Sunday. He came in onto the pitch around about 60 minutes mark. His movement was pretty good. He hasn't had much game time with Liverpool. Didn't play much for them for pre-season, but actually looks pretty sharp and pretty fit.
Yep.
Obviously comparing him to Charlie Austin makes most professional football players look pretty fit. There's a lot of amateur football players pretty fit by comparison. Working our way back, I suppose. Mohamed El-Nissi is the one that you mentioned just
now. Oh, yeah.
He's been from FC Basel. And those of your listeners or followers who follow the Champions League, they would have seen him score a goal against Manchester City in the Champions League last season. So he's potentially quite exciting. He's supposed to be a replacement for Tadic, but actually I think he has a bit more pace than Tadic, but he's in forwards, attacking players. So that's always nice to bring in.
Yeah.
Stuart Armstrong from Celtic.
Oh, yeah.
£7 million is looking like a really decent acquisition. I'm not sure why it's so cheap, actually, because from what I've seen with him on the pitch, which admittedly isn't an awful lot, he looks like he's a really good player.
Yes.
And Yannick Vestergaard, I'm glad you mentioned that you're a fan of him. I mean,
yeah.
I'm a big follower of German football, but he does look like a colossus.
Yeah.
The words he used. And, there was a corner which he cleared. He didn't even have to jump to win the header.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Despite some of our defenders being quite tall, they're not great in the air. That's something we've definitely missed since Van Dijk left.
Yeah.
And also, when Sam Vokes got substituted on for Burnley, the first thing he did on the pitch was give Vestergaard an elbow in the head. And then a few minutes later, Vestergaard just absolutely smacked Burnley forwards in the back, just took him out. So it looks like he's willing to adapt to the type of physical nature of the Premier League, which is great as well. Angus Gunn's an interesting one, actually. I don't think many Saints fans were expecting us to sign the keeper, especially considering we still have Fraser Forster on the but it looks like he's jumped straight ahead of Fraser Forster, so he's the second choice keeper, at least until Alex McCarthy hits a bad run of form and potentially Gunn might get his chance. Hopefully we get a run out in the League Cup and we can have a decent run of that and see what he's like.
You made a few pointers, obviously, about your season opener against Burnley. It was a 0-0 draw. Obviously, sometimes often them referred to being stalemates, not much to talk about. Was there anything that you could draw out of that game?
Yeah, I mean, I think Burnley were a little bit sharper because they've had the Europa League action. And in the first half, they looked really good. The Saints players still looked very, very nervous.
Mm-hmm.
A bit of a hangover from last season. But around about the 60-minute mark, we changed from a 3-5-2 formation, so having three centre-backs,
yeah,
two wing-backs. And Mark Hughes changed it to a 4-4-2. And we had two forwards on. And it just worked a lot better. It probably coincided with the Burnley players tiring a bit after 60 minutes. I'd be a little bit worried. I mean, the Saints start like that against Everton. I think you guys have a little bit more quality going forward than Burnley do, and I'd expect you guys will probably be able to find the back of the net in that period where we weren't great. But McCarthy made a couple of good saves, so perhaps we'll be relying on him. But hopefully we can be a bit more positive from the outset.
Do you think that Mark Hughes will make the decision to go ahead with the three at the back or maybe start with the four on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, based on Sunday, you would say it's probably a sensible thing to go with four at the back, but I think away from home, at a ground where we just never win, he might be looking to keep things a little bit tighter, so maybe he will stick with three at the back, with the wing backs. We have both Mario Lemina and Oriol Romeo in midfield, who are deeper kind of midfielders. They like to stay back. Oriol Romeo is very much defensive midfielder. So I expect him to keep things close enough for probably the first kind of 70 minutes or so, then maybe he'll change things towards the end if he feels like we can get a decent result.
For the audience interest, obviously, obviously I'm sure they'll be keen to listen of an outsider's opinion on the club itself. What did you make of Everton's start of the season? Have you managed to catch it?
Yeah, I did actually. I've got to admit, I was pretty excited to see Wolverhampton Wanderers in action. So one of the reasons I support Saints is because my great granddad played for them. So
brilliant!
Saints, but he was also manager of Wolves as well.
Oh, fantastic!
A little bit of a soft spot, I was pretty interested to see what I think they've got a really interesting project.
Yeah.
Going on there, I think Ruben Neves.
Oh, he's a fantastic player.
But you know, you guys were more than a match for them. And I think had you not had the player sent off, you'd probably have won that game. I don't think there's going to be that many teams going to Wolves and coming away with 3 points. So, Richarlison looks absolutely fantastic.
Of course.
You know, obviously £50 million, you're expecting a player to come in and make an immediate impact, but what an impact he made. And, he was looking like the Richarlison we saw at the start of last season. You know, he had some really good games for Watford until kind of Marco Silva had his head turned by the new guys and they all kind of fell apart then. But, yeah, he looks like he could be a real star, Richarlison.
Yeah.
And I think he probably, going from having Rooney in your midfield to having Richarlison from your midfield, probably things are going to feel a bit quicker for him.
No, of course. It's been a definitely needed injection of pace that we've got. And
can I ask you a question, Alex?
Go on. Go on.
Think about that mentioning Wayne Rooney. Presumably you've watched the footage of him.
Oh, where he makes the quickest run he's ever made in his life.
In the US Soccer League. What do you think of that? Did you ever see that from Rooney at the time he was...
I personally, I think he's just got it in his locker. No matter where he is, I think he's always capable of making those kind of magic moments. Even for the people that argued he was on the decline at Everton, you know, we still saw that game at West Ham at home where he managed to bag a hat-trick and the goal from the halfway line. So on that note, you know, I'm not surprised by the moments of magic from him. It's quite a shocking one, really. It's quite an update with current affairs. Gone from Southampton to talking about Rooney and absolutely amazing performances in the MLS. But, John, it's been great to have you on. And while you're still on the line, obviously to take a step out from football and ask the traditional question, what's your favourite film?
So, I was recently asked what my favourite comedy film was, because I've been thinking about that recently. I'll give you the answer for that. And that's Shaun of the Dead.
Brilliant.
Absolutely love
that movie. Fantastic film.
Romantic comedy with zombies.
No, I know. Absolutely fantastic. The pair of them, Nick Frost and Simon Pegg, I think they're just comic geniuses. John, I know you run your own podcast as well, mate, so while you've got the opportunity, tell us where to find your work.
So you can find us, we're called the Saints FC Podcast. We're on Twitter at Saints FC Podcast. So, you know, if you're an Everton fan looking for a second team in the Premier League or whatever, you just want to get a little bit of insight in the run-up to the weekend, we had an episode out yesterday where we talked about the Everton game and obviously we kind of took apart the Saints, so if you want to know what's going on, by all means, go ahead and check that out. Also, if you watch the kind of goal show on BT Sport on Saturdays, you might see my face popping up on that as well.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. John, thanks for coming on again, mate. It was great to speak to you.
Yeah, thank you for having us again. I look forward to chatting to you
Brilliant.
Later on the season again.
So there we are. It was great to have the opportunity to talk to John again, as proved by his last appearance on the opposition view. He's a really nice fella, and I thought his story about where he was for the Everton game was really quite comical. Also interesting to listen to about what the great escape meant for Southampton and for him as a fan. I know as an Evertonian, we've got particularly two of those, 94 and 98 in our history, although I'm not quite old enough to remember them. It was just interesting to hear from a fan's point of view what surviving relegation feels like. And of course, his account of Southampton this summer, what he expects for the game on Saturday, it's always interesting to hear. If you enjoyed the interview and if you just carry on checking out some more of our stuff, check out the Toffee Blues on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or the social media platform to stay up to date with all the Everton news. Take it easy.